with the song "I Love You for a Thousand Years" and "I Have Loved You for a Thousand Years," it just reminds us that we are enwrapped and we are enriched by the. It's like a love affair with ourselves in a way, you know, really appreciating and loving who we are, but also knowing that we are, you know, the universe, that God, that nature absolutely loved us and has loved us for always. And so it's really reassuring, particularly in the topic that I am going to do today about creating your destiny. This is the book, It's Up to You by Ernest Holmes. I know you have it, Miss Wonderful Teacher Valerie. Ooh, it's all Mac, so she's doing some homework there. And this is a very, very interesting book. And for us to come across its path to share with our group has to be destiny. So today is you create your destiny from the book It's Up to You. And if you can almost put it, it's up to you. You create your destiny. So you can put it anyway. So I have a bunch of quotes today, and the quotes come from many, you know, very varied quotes. All are not metaphysical quotes. There are some funny ones. But I just thought that, you know, we all living this universe together, and we really need each other. We are symbiotically connected. You know, I have what you want, you have what I want, we all have what we can get, you know, from each other. And if we do it with a certain amount of grace, with a certain amount of love and respect for each other, I mean, this is all about creating, because we create from what we have. We create from our environment. So the first quote is from E. Stanley Jones, and it says, "Some people go through life getting results. Others get consequences." And from Ernest Holmes, in his book, page 29, he said, "We all look around us and discover we have a certain physical environment. We may like it or we may not like it. We may think it is beautiful or we may think it is ugly. We may see it as friendly or we may see it as unfriendly. But regardless of this, each one's environment is going to be to him what he is to it." And that is basically the basis of understanding a principle of give and take in our universe. So that leaves us with a lot of authority about obviously creating our own life. And I would expound on that as I go a little further into the talk. So in this chapter, Ernest reminds us that we are in partnership with God. Now, God may not be a word that feels right, so we are in partnership with, you call it what you want, partnership with nature. Nature felt very, very good to me this time as I prepared the talk, because nature says it all. It's so easy to believe when I look out there and I see things blooming and I see, you know, the freshness, and I see how the night and day, the sunsets, the sunrises, very, very believable. So I was going under that sort of a concept this time, that I am in partnership with that. I am alive to see the sunrise. I'm alive to see the sunset. And so if I am literally observing and being aware of all that, then something's going on between the both of us, between nature and me. And that felt really, really good. So, of course, it doesn't matter whatever you call it. As Ernest Holmes said, what really matters is our understanding of the principle of the creative mind. He said divine mind would respond to the cross, and he would respond, or it would respond, to the crescent. So it really doesn't matter. Whatever feels good to you is just your relationship with the principle. So we should think of our spirit as part of the universal spirit, and our mind as open to that divine influx. And these are Ernest's words. And just to remind you that, you know, life as we know it really never begun, and it really never will end. As the Bible talks, says, it's the Alpha and the Omega. And it's what translated as the beginning and the end. And so life has to be life. Nature is nature. And nature can never die. You look out around you. There is nothing like death in nature, because nature is ever abundant. And that is what life is. And I choose to call that life God. I choose to call that life spirit, or Buddha, or nature. And so, as I'm aware that God is incarnated in all life, I am aware that God is incarnated in me. So I have my own little way of kind of coming to the conclusions, and it feels so good, and I'm really grateful that I'm able to make that connection from, you know, from knowing that all life is one, knowing that God is in me, as me, and through nature. So there is a quote on page 11, and I would like to read it to you. And 11 had to do with escape to life. Mm-hmm. Page 11, it says, if a man knows that life never began and will never end, he will be immediately fortified and inspired to begin the work of bringing out perfection in his daily life. When a man understands that God is incarnated in him, that he is a new creation, an individual impartation of that which is divine, he feels a new birth. When he grasps the fact that the divine thing is in him, which longs to be, will always be, then will his intellect see it and his emotion respond to it, and life can no longer frighten him. So just knowing and understanding life really truly empowers us. So as with all knowledge, divine influx must come from the center of all knowledge, and there is where we receive our inspiration, our ideas, our dreams, our goals. Just being open to nature, just knowing that this is it, this is the center of all knowledge, and I open to it, and I just be. And just know that I'm infused with knowledge, I'm infused with what is needed for my next step. So, we are living in a very creative universe, and I have some quotes that would kind of give you an idea of how creative our universe is and how abundant it is. And so the first quote is, and it's by Isaac Asimov from A Book of Facts, page 321. Every person has nearly 400,000 radioactive atoms disintegrating into other atoms in his or her body every second. But there is no need to worry about falling apart. Each I know. Each body cell contains an average of 90 trillion atoms. That is 225 million times that of 400,000. So each body cell I'm talking about the atoms in it, one cell. And that is just mind-boggling. You know, it takes a scientist to come up with something like that. Another one is, if the eggs spawned by all the female cod in one season survived, they will fill the oceans from seabed to surface. Yeah. Cod lay between 4 and 5 million eggs at a time, but usually only 5 survive.
Wow.
Jeez. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, and that's from the Ultimate Book of Useless Information. All right, and then I have another one which...
Find somewhere to use it.
Yeah. And then there's another one with, it says you can light an average size house from the electric power exerted by an electric eel. Mm-hmm. Tracy Stephen Burrows in Bizarre Facts and Radical Earthlings. So, I have other quotes as we go on, but I'll continue with the talk. So, universal mind on its own has, has no choice. And I'm coming back to the principle of creation. So, through the law of thought, whatever is given in thought must create. Everything in our universe is thought motivated. Even the trees, the stove, humankind, whatever it is, the carpet, the tablecloth, everything comes from that one brilliant idea. Whether you think it's brilliant or not, it is an idea, it is a thought. And that thought literally just become extremely expansive. And so... the universe, nature, just knows how to grasp the idea and make it into something so much bigger. So everything that is made had to be made out of the mind of God. If we know that God is everything there is. So if God is everything there is, then there is nothing that God is not, right? Mm-hmm. And so... we know for sure that there is no outside of God. So whatever we put out there in our thoughts, in our conversation, in our minds, even what we do on a daily basis, it's all absolutely wrapped up in the oneness of it all. It's all in the mind of God that is becoming creative, whether we think about it or not. So everything that is made had to be made out of the mind of God, since God is all there is. And God is the only thing that it can be made of. So nature, however you want to look at nature, is absolutely there. That is all that it is. And so whatever is created, whether it's a light bulb, whether it is an intellectual thought or whatever, you know, it has to come from this mind of God. And so, if God be for us, as it is stated in the Bible, who can be against us? There is nothing that can be against us in our existence. We may think there are so many things against us because of the contrast and because of all the other stuff that are going on. But if we truly look at the creative process and whatever we put out must come back. Sometimes multiplied, sometimes it comes back in our perception, a diminished amount, but it must come back. And so there is no way that anything is fighting against us. We are putting out whatever needs to be put out, and it comes back to us. So the only ones that can be against us, obviously, is ourselves. And even then, we are still, even if we get the results that we don't like, guess what? We are still in harmony with our own selves. Because the law of creation, the law of God, the law of circulation cannot discriminate. So whatever I put out there, even if it's not the manifestation that I want, it is perfectly made and returned to me. Isn't that interesting? So, might as well, and I'm talking to myself, people, so I might as well, you know, think the more positive, the more powerful thoughts, because it's going to come back anyhow, you know? Sometimes we lazily think things through and we lazily get back results. The results look like, you know, my goodness, what happened here? Or sometimes we are just, you know, very negative in our thinking and we look back and we are like, wow, that really showed up in some true negativity. But if you look at it, it was the perfect manifestation of our thinking, of our thoughts. We do have another aspect that come into play, which is, you know, the race consciousness that we deal with because we are dealing on a one-on-one basis with hundreds of thousands, with billions of people on a daily basis. So there's a race consciousness that plays its part and fits perfectly into our past or into our present. But we have choices, and that's one of the key things about creation, is that we can always choose again. If something you know, presents itself to us and it's like, gee, that's not what I asked for, I cannot deal with that, I can choose again in that very moment. I can pout, I can do whatever, I can, you know, become really sick and saddened and depressed. But guess what? At some point, I personally have to choose to lift myself from that state of negativity and say, something has to be done, I am moving forward. So don't be too tough on yourself, because the good news is that there is always, we can always choose again. So although our thoughts shape our destiny, there is an element of unknown that we are truly not privy to. And this is exactly where trust comes in. I love to use the word trust the process. And trusting the process just tells me that in some ways I do have some frailty in my human form. You know, I wish I could stand in nature and be truly be a divine influx for inspiration 24/7. But sometimes that doesn't work. Sometimes we have to get back to somebody screaming and yelling, like in the case of my aunt and uncle, and constantly hear, you know, all the wonderful dictions, that colorful words that I have to deal with on a daily basis. And that just jars me back from the point of becoming fully open to my next move and for what would tell me that, hey, you know, I can see more than I can see right now. And, you know, I don't know, maybe in some ways that might be some type of protection, that we don't see everything as, you know, see the bigger, broader, better picture. And maybe have to just go forth and trust the process as we go along. So trust the process, you know. Obviously, God could not create man with the gift of free choice without making him able to think, and he cannot think without bringing upon himself the results of his thinking. And that's on page 29. But because we are not always in the zone to receive this divine influx, then God's highest motive is not always revealed clearly in us. But trust the process. There is, or you just trust that your highest and best good is always just right there. And that, and as we trust and we know that, you know, what we have placed in the mind of God is what we've desired, And we truly know and understand that the law of creation takes place because we have put our desires out there, we've put our dreams out there. We just should simply wait. Wait knowing that our highest and best good is still to be. And it's not that we are living in a wait and see kind of thing. It's we are living in a faith kind of situation. We are living in a hope, in a trusting situation that I trust the principles of creation and I trust that it's going to be evolved into my own life. It would be manifested into my own life. So hold on. Don't let go, and I'm speaking to myself, just hang in there, all right? Sometimes we pray for things, and then all of a sudden stuff happens very differently. You know, like we pray for health, and we start sneezing, and we come down with a cold or some other stuff that's going on, and then you're like, I did not ask for this. I know I opened and I said health. Perfect health. And so you wonder, well, why does that happen? And I really don't know, and maybe Connie might be able to say, but I think in a way, in order for us to more be grateful and to be more appreciative, sometimes we do need to see what the contrast of health might look like, so that we open up into a bigger, broader picture and embrace health to its fullest. So that we know that a cold doesn't make me feel healthy. However, if I can break through that and come through smelling the roses and feeling really good, then I could truly appreciate that, this is health. This really feels good. So, contrast could be a very good thing. Mm-hmm. All right, it's a good source of guidance, actually. If, like in my case, I truly trust the process. When things like this happen, I don't get too worked up because I know that this is working itself through, and I don't understand that big picture all the time, the unseen, and so I have to trust the process. All right, so let me read another quote to you. This is about a lightning bolt. A lightning bolt, which can be 20 miles high, can carry 100 million volts of electricity and is 5 times hotter than the sun's surface. Wow. That is from Clark and Long in Weird Facts. And from the New York Times in the Week's magazine, it says, Americans throw out 27% of the 350 million pounds of food they buy every year. 27% is thrown out. Interesting. It hurts?
It hurts.
Yeah. So you can deduce from what shows up in your life as good or not good, wanted or not wanted, but my encouragement to you is to try to not put the labels on. As it comes, you said this and something better, or this too shall pass, or thank you for allowing me to go through this experience. Now I know what I do not want. So, because sometimes labeling could really keep us in confinement. When we say, my gosh, that was a bad thing, or this is a good thing, you know, good or bad, we just should try to just open up and say, thank you. And so remember that we are co-conspirators. That's my word for today. And so if we are, then remember that if we say this is a bad thing, that we ourselves are telling ourselves that you did a bad thing. You created your experience. And so without blame, without shame, without anything else, just open to what comes in, because you know that you and God, you as spirit, have created your experience. So we talked, Michael Beckwith, from his talks, what was the name of his thing again?
Light Visioning.
Yes, Light Visioning. I think you were the one, Connie, that talked about to me, the different stages of the consciousness. To me, in me, and as me. And this is exactly what creation is about. You know, there are different stages. We think that it's been done to us. And then we realize, if God and I are partnership in this, then it's not done to me. We understand it more clearly when we say it's done through me. And yes, I am that life force, that life, that emanating source as God in this world. So if it's done through me, then it has to be done as me, you know, in me and as me. And it is the as me portion of it that truly tells each person that, hey, I understand the principle of creation, because it has to be done in me as God. God has the full. God is the fullness, and if God is the fullness of all things, then I am the fullness of all things. And so, knowing how precious that piece of information is, then I can do anything. I can push forth. I can do anything from the point that I stand. And God does not bestow the gift of abundance upon this man or that man, and this is from Ernest Holmes. God does not know whether you and I have little or much. The source of our supply is unlimited, and it rests with us how much we will embody it. So there is no discrimination. Each person is open to the very same law of creation. It's just how much I understand and how much I'm willing to embody this understanding to create big things in my life, or small things, or whatever you want to, whatever you want created. But every time we say that our environment is against us, we are actually... And this is Ernest Holmes' word. He said, every time we say that our environment is against us, we are cursing it and cursing ourselves in our relationship to it. So Ernest, you know, he said that, and I agreed with him. But do you understand now why we are cursing ourselves? Do you have an idea why? Do you understand? Because everything is in the law, is in harmony. So whatever we put out is perfectly returned to us. And we are co-conspirators. We are conspirators. I know you're laughing at my word. Conspirators. I have to speak American here. All right. So God makes the perfect hurricane, for example. You're like, yeah, right, you know. But the perfect hurricane is formed because everything has lined up to make that forcefulness of nature. And because that happens, that is just another instance that, yes, we are in alignment with God. So Ernest asks us to, and this is a quote, let us bless our environment. Visualize it as ideal in thought and imagination. The existence of life is from within and never without. we should mentally create the environment which is more like that which we feel will make us happy. The environment should be contemplated as joy, as love, as appreciation, and as recognition. So know that the law of God, know that the law of creation is God's method of operation. So this is how God operates. We put it out there, we put it into the law, it comes back to us. That is how things are formed. That is how the law governs us. And it governs both the seen and the unseen. So I had a quote on hurricanes, and I don't know where I put it. But I'm going to quote this other quote. The difference between a saint and a sourpuss is that the sourpuss sees his life, sees his daily interactions as a nuisance, while the saint finds a continuous stream of opportunities to celebrate. The sourpuss finds intruders. The other, which is the saint, finds angels. At any given moment, we have the power to choose what we will be and what we will see. Each of us has the capacity to find holiness or attack all and everything about us. And this came from Alan Cohen from The Joy Is My Campus. My compass, sorry. And there's another one. In general, there are two kinds of people who make mistakes. Those who won't admit them, and those who call them experiences. And so in closing, up until now, we have been unconscious creators. So let us not condemn ourselves, as we spoke about before. When we understand the law and how it works, we shall be able to bring into our lives the good that we desire. Let us accept this power with love and gratitude and start to create a more wonderful destiny for ourselves. And this is another quote. You always do what you want to do. This is true with every act. You may say that you had to do something or that you were forced to, but actually, whatever you do by choice. Only you have the power to choose for yourself. This is from Clement Stone. Another quote is, people make such big deal of things. For instance, yesterday my doctor gave me a choice. He said it was cigarettes or cancer, one or the other. I didn't hesitate. I didn't cry about it. I gave up cancer. What's the big deal? What's the big deal? And this is from Robert Orban in the Joke Teller's Handbook. Another one is, you don't get to choose how you're going to die or when. You can only decide how you're going to live. And my last quote, is, destiny is not a matter of chance. It is a matter of choice. It is not a thing to be waited for. It is a thing to be achieved. Namaste. Thank you.